was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 498. So close.
Two away.
So close.
It's a deuce.
So close. It is. No, yes. Yeah,
stay
there.
All, that's the rest of our episode.
That's true, yeah. Colin's writing it down.
So if I write down the deuce, they're going to be like, what? That means two? That doesn't make any sense for a title of podcast 498.
Get him to listen.
What the deuce?
What the deuce? Okay, I'll write that one down. But I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Mike.
Pat. Spencer.
And the dogs are here. Oop, I spelled deuce wrong. Yikes. Rex has hogged the entire sofa, and Marley is kind of beside herself. So she's just wandering around, trying to figure out what to do.
Looking on longing.
Yeah, going, I want to lay up there. And Rex has now closed his eyes, because he doesn't care. Wandering aimlessly. Okay. News. I don't remember any news. I don't remember seeing anything of note. We talked about Zdarsky taking over Batman.
They showed the lineup for Justice League.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's not a very good lineup.
Oh, okay.
The new Justice League, because the old Justice League's dead?
Yeah.
Who's in it?
It's the Batman that's in New York.
That's what I was afraid of.
The new Wonder Woman who book just got canceled after two issues.
Yara Flor. Let me guess, John?
Yeah, John.
Oh, let's see. It's either Teen Lantern or Far Sector Lantern.
Far Sector Lantern, okay. And then the...
the new non-binary Flash?
I didn't actually see a Flash, but then it was the... I don't know, is he Aqualad? I don't know what his...
Yeah, that's going to be a big seller. We'll sell tens and tens.
You're talking about combined, like across the full four-issue run, right?
I love that. I think, is it Progressive or Geico, where it's the disaster guy and he's doing the little dance and the guy crashes into the back of the garbage truck? Marley, hey. No, honey. No, hey. No. Don't climb up on Rex.
Yeah,
that's not going to go well.
For me.
But he's like, this is going to get tens and tens of views. but yeah, that's not what people want.
Sure it is. The people have demanded this.
Honey,
look, they
honey,
spent like,
no.
You know, millions of dollars on market research.
Yeah.
It has to be what they want.
In L.A.
Yeah, well.
They forget the old, what's that old chestnut? Will it play in Peoria? And they seem to forget that. Marley, just sit. Don't you hear him growling? Everybody at home heard him growling.
Oh, he was growling?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was snoring.
No, he was growling because she was trying to jump up. Okay. Way to go, Mike.
Is this
you've
a safe
upset
place for me?
The.
Is any place really safe, Mike? If you think
he's
if you
growling.
Want?
Especially for you.
Again, if I was you, I'd worry if he started growling at the other end.
Okay. So, let's see. I don't remember any other.
I saw something about the DC offices are like officially closed.
Yeah, well they're moving into, they want to use those offices for something better and are moving the DC in with the rest of WB Creative so that all the creative is in the same place.
I thought a lot of them are going to go remote.
It was a Bleeding Cool article talking about them doing shared office space. So you only come in one day a week, so you share a desk with someone else who comes in.
What if you come in the same day?
I don't know. Well, I don't. There's no desk. It's just a desk.
Sharing.
It's, you don't have any of your personal things on that desk. It's just a desk.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. Good luck. Whatever. Marley, just lay down, sweetie. Just lie down. Don't cause troubles. Like Pat.
Like Pat is sitting here being...
Yeah, but you always cause trouble.
That's fair.
So, okay. We'll
keep this up, Molly's going to leave the podcast.
I know.
Wow.
Well, Colin said you left the podcast because of me.
Yeah, that's...
And I cried zero tears for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Nothing personal, I just don't have feelings.
Well, you're from Philly, so, I mean, I wasn't expecting you to have any.
Yeah.
Harsh. Okay, Lord Retail.
Lord Germain.
That works. I'm sure no one's ever called him that. What is an area of your store that you wish your weekly clientele explored and utilized on a regular basis?
Besides the bathroom.
An area that perhaps new visitors spend more time with than your regulars. I don't know. One difference, like, he has all of his new releases in one section. So I'm guessing most of his people come in on Wednesday, look there, and go to check out, might not explore the store. Where I don't really, you know, since we have the new release wall all the way around the store.
Yeah.
I think people are definitely looking, and I know they know that to look at the trades and stuff. Kids section gets plenty of attention, so I can't really say there's any one specific area.
Your back issue section might be the one that's the least busy.
Yeah.
Even then, it stays.
Yeah, no. We're doing well in back issues. And that's just, it takes up a lot of room, you know, as opposed to the new wall, you know, new stuff is just on the walls. But yeah. But no, that does fine. So I can't really complain about anything really not getting looked at. No. Good there. So yeah, I don't really have any complaints there.
Well, what about the half off wall?
Yeah, I mean, I need to do a better job of not having it cluttered in front of it. But I also need to do a better job of updating it more. There's really no reason. You know, it's not updated weekly. So if you looked at it once, you probably have seen it. And then Zach asked, do you think DC is going through their own all-new, all-different phase with their upcoming Justice League book? No, what I think there, it's for mostly a placeholder. I'm going to say it's a team while they get through the Dark Crisis. And I'm guessing at the end of Dark Crisis, everything's going to be different and never to be seen the same again. You know,
the same but different.
Yeah.
How many issues is Dark Crisis?
Don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Do you know who's doing it?
Josh Williamson is writing it. So,
I mean, that's a positive.
Well, but he's also writing the Justice League book, though, too, right? Isn't he taking
over? Yeah, he's doing. Well, he's doing 75, and then so I don't know if he's doing the new ongoing. So we'll see. But my guess is at the end of Dark Crisis, hopefully, there's a lot of changes because they often, like, other than Flashpoint, it's like, you know, nothing's, you know, everything's going to change and then nothing changes. Marvel.
Are they doing another Flashpoint too?
Yes. I don't know if that's, I think that might just be, I think that's just revisiting. I don't know if that's actually changing the universe, which is fine. I really liked Flashpoint, so.
But it's hard because that universe was supposedly got destroyed.
Well,
because Thomas and everything.
Supposedly.
Right, but then when.
But he keeps popping up everywhere.
Right. Yeah, Dr. Manhattan. Well, that's the other thing. Now that they've introduced Dr. Manhattan, they can kind of do whatever they want and go, Dr. Manhattan did it.
Well, because also, not only do they have a multiverse, but they have, what is that, the Omniverse? Well, all multiverses are in
a multiverse of multiverses.
Yeah.
Craziness, Colin.
Tis. So those are the two questions. So
dogs and cats living together.
Exactly. Yeah, nothing going on here.
But the rent? Yeah, ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Oh, okay.
Well, Colin.
Sorry. Not up on my hip hop. Never was, never will be.
Really? I figured you were just.
You don't think he's a Snoop Dogg guy?
No, I thought he loved the Super Bowl halftime show. Like, he had every one of the songs that they played on his podcast.
You know, my iPod.
Or on your iPod.
I don't think Colin knew four of the five people on that.
I knew them. Well, there was one person I didn't know.
Who?
The guy hanging upside down?
No, I know. That's 50 Cent.
Okay.
50 Cent.
What? Everybody knows 50.
Yeah, there was one guy I just didn't know.
Probably Kendrick Lamar.
That's probably correct. Yes. So.
The guy where they had the boxes and they did the step show, that was Kendrick Lamar.
Okay. I'm an 80s boy. I'm, you know.
We're turning into Yo MTV Raps.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here we go.
That would be. Oh, see, I was more of a Dr. Dre and Ed Lover fan than Fab Five Freddy.
Yeah. Well, Fab Five got it started.
That's true.
But Dre and Lover were the best because they were funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, Colin?
Colin, have you ever seen Yo MTV Raps?
Probably not intentionally, no.
Not even
that
in
was
passing.
Not that was not my thing. So,
Dave, I'm shocked that you've seen it. I learned something today, and I like what I learned.
Yeah.
Or does he just know
it's
of
been
it?
A long time since I've had MTV, but
well, see, I park next to Dave, and every time we leave at night, as soon as he turns car on, just gangster rap just starts playing. Yeah, it just starts playing out of the speakers.
I believe that.
You see me rocking the car back and
forth. I look over, he's tying the bandana on and putting the grills in.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go from this.
There's nowhere you can go.
No, there's really nowhere to go. But, everything's cruising nicely here. Back issues are selling great.
There's so much coming out next week. So.
Yeah, there's not. Yeah, next week we're going to have to scramble a little bit.
I think I'm getting like 3 books.
Maybe. It's
getting half of what's coming out then.
Yeah, it's not a not a great week.
Extra
books.
Wednesday this month?
Yeah, there is, and Marvel really took next week off, and I even had Pat go through the list from Diamond to highlight things, and I found one thing to highlight.
Just putting in the ball.
Great time to try something you haven't tried before.
Like Feline Feces, Volume 2, Number 3. I can't say
that's not the name of the book, but yeah, I'll give you that, yeah. No, I sold you that. It was a special order. I was not carrying that one for the shelf. I saw.
But if people knew that that was a book
that was available.
It was in previews. You had your opportunities, and it is series.
Where would you look to find a book?
It is series 3. So it was Antarctic Press.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so lie down, sweetie. Yeah, or chew something.
Ow!
Don't chew. Well, go ahead.
He
won't mind.
I'm chewy.
So, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to start kick us off talking about books that came out last week?
Sure.
You want to start with Monkey Prince?
No.
No?
Number 2?
Yeah.
Colin read it.
I read it. Did you not?
No.
I read it for you. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you talked about one of the dumb books you read then.
Radio Spaceman, number 1.
It was next in the pile.
Did anybody read this?
Not even know.
It's a new Mike Mignola book, and it basically is based off of drawings he was doing on Instagram, and it's this outer space superhero, hero, I guess you could say, and there's this old guy, he sits in this old, like, steampunk chair, and attaches this thing to his chest, and he kind of becomes Radio Spaceman. There's a crashed spaceship on the planet, so they're going to send Radio Spaceman out to go get it. And he investigates, and I'm like, this is like not Mike Mignola typical. There's like no horror stuff. And then the last 3 pages, they show on this other planet, this bear-like creature opening a box and gets devoured and sliced up by this woman in a white dress and stuff. And it's only 2 issues. It was a lot of fun. It was different for Mignola and his universe, but the drawing was like kind of looks like his stuff. So that, I enjoyed that. Let's see. One Star Squadron, number 4.
I read that one.
Okay, I was talking to Dave about this before the podcast. I had a really bad day at work. This made me hate my job even more. It made me feel very, very depressed about my job.
Just related to it or something? Or?
Yes. So basically, the powers that be of this company are telling Red Tornado he has to fire half the people to save money so they can sell the company. And it basically comes down to he has a heart and he feels bad and he doesn't want to fire anybody. And he kind of like stands up and says, no, I'm not going to do this. And he goes and tries and talks to the big corporate bigwigs. And they're like, we don't care what you do because we've already sold the company. So he doesn't really care. And lo and behold, Power Girl, who thinks she's going to get the new job as the manager? Is that what she's supposed to be?
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you still doing? And the bigwigs are like, what are you still doing there? She's, what do you mean? He's like, well, didn't he fire you yet? And she had no idea she was supposed to get fired as well. So she gets fired. She gets upset. And then Red Tornado or somebody makes a reference to blowing up the building, and then the very last page,
building blows up.
The building is blown up and on fire.
So are they like a Hero for Hire kind of thing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the most Z-level heroes on the planet.
So like they were Heroes for Hire.
But they're hired.
But they're hired for kids' parties.
And gas station openings, and like if you're having a flea market with like more than three families on a street.
Yeah. This book seems like it'd be tailor made for Booster Gold, because that was kind of like his stick there for a while.
Yeah. But all the characters,
he's kind of doing his own thing like that in his in the Blue and Gold series too.
But it's basically Russell's take on corporate America does not care about you. All they care about is the bottom line. They don't care who they hurt, who they step on, who they destroy. And I literally, I was like, oh. And just felt bad. The book is great. It's very well written. And there's a lot of...
Just a little too personal at the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of smart stuff that Russell's writing. So what else did you feel about it, Dave?
Yeah, it's just one of the more depressing... It's really smart, but you know, it's also very depressing.
Yeah.
The way Russell writes it and gets into the heads of these characters,
and like they're all like the low level guys are like begging for their job because they know the hammer's coming down, and they're referencing the Glengarry Glen Ross scene.
Oh yeah,
where let's have a cup of coffee because the next round is you're all gone.
Yeah,
you know, and then and they're like, no, you're not. And Red Tornado's like, no, you're not going to be fired. And he literally doesn't fire them, but
it doesn't stop him from getting fired.
No, they never got fired. As far as we, they didn't get fired, did they?
No. So Power Girl's the only one that ended up getting.
Yeah, she was the only one who was officially fired.
And then Red Tornado, he was about to fire everybody. Then he said, "No, I was supposed to, but I'm gonna fight for your jobs."
So. Yeah. And then the big wigs are like, "No, we don't care. You take it up with the new owners. We don't really care."
Yeah.
It's been really good. My favorite book of the week was Wrong Earth, Trapped on Teen Planet Number One. From Ahoy, and this is written by Gail Simone. So you have Dragonfly, is it man?
It's Dragonfly, but he's still masquerading as Dragonfly Man.
Correct. He's from Omega on Alpha, which is the good planet. Omega is the bad planet.
Yeah.
And
they're on Earth Alpha in this.
And
the first part.
They get transported to essentially Riverdale and the Archies, would you say?
Yeah, it's called like Sunny View or something
like that.
Yeah, and
it's drawn like Riverdale.
Yeah.
All the characters were drawn. And there, what was the other character that was the caption dude?
Yeah, Cappy, the...
The caption.
Yeah.
And like he had a part in it. But... Gail Simone wrote it. I felt like it was the original guys writing this. And like, the Dragonfly Man is like, I'm not leaving this place. I love this place.
Yeah, Bill Morrison did the art
for
that. He did that Roswell series and some other. He did stuff for the Simpsons comics.
But
Archie is Sandy, and then Jughead, you know, the Jughead character is Dipstick.
It was super funny, and it was a lot of fun.
But it was interesting because... Dragonfly, he has a connection. He read these comics when he was a kid.
Yes.
On Earth Omega.
Yeah.
Because to get away from his father, who was a violent...
Jerk. And then...
So he had a personal connection to all these characters.
And then Stinger's along for the ride. He's awesome. And then Deuce, who used to be somewhat of a supervillain, is kind of like a good person now. And who does she turn into? Is it Dragonfly Man Woman or whatever it is?
There's like a robot who's Lady Dragonfly Man, but I forget what. Yeah, she does put on the costume, but I forget what she called herself.
Yeah,
if anything.
And the other part I loved about the book is the end. There's like two pages of pinups that they used to do the Jack Kirby days, but it was done in Riverdale Archie style. It was just awesome. And I think there's going to be four more other one-shots. One of them's written by Mark Russell and some other people. And I think they're going to come out like every month or every other month. So,
how many volumes is that up to now?
They've done, three? And now they're doing one-shots.
Yeah.
Because that was like one of the first books they put out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, the original author says that he's working on more stories. They're going to revisit it, I think, after these one shots that come down. So,
yeah.
But that's all I will talk about.
Dave?
Let's talk about Crossover.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Number 12.
Especially those like first 10 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, first 10 pages were written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by Phil Hester. In the previous issue, we learned that Negan is the comic book killer, so it's 8 months before the present, and Negan is searching out Kirkman at his estate so he could bash his head in.
He's basically just living in this, like, adult, like, playpen, like, oh.
Yeah.
If you look on his wall, there's, like, 3 copies of the first Superman.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all this stuff.
Yeah.
That, like, he's accumulated from his wealthy career and stuff.
Well, I wonder how much of that is accurate and how much it was just, like, you know, just putting things in the back, you know, to have things in the background.
They even had a thing, a box of Frank Frazetta artwork, you know,
yes.
Which is like, you're like, what?
Yeah.
So, he had a dinosaur.
Yes.
Well, you know, anybody.
Well, he wrote a dinosaur comic, and it was like.
Yeah. Well, no, but like the Batman, the King Batman gave that dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kirkman's trying to defend himself.
He's trying to not get killed.
And trying to not get killed, and says, we had to make your life horrible in the Walking Dead comic because it made the story more interesting, but Negan doesn't buy it. And bashes his head in. And
he destroys his entire body.
Yeah.
Well, once
and I told my theory is this was a cathartic moment of writing for Kirkman, because Negan, you know, Negan bashes his head and says, that's for what you did to Glenn.
Yeah.
Craig. Yeah.
And I think Kirkman feels so guilty over what he did to Glenn.
Yeah.
He wrote this.
Well, he must have not have felt too guilty, because he let him get it in the show too. So
I think he had to in the show though. He couldn't have changed it. Like, that wouldn't have went over.
I don't know. They changed almost everybody else's death.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only death that stuck from the, you know, from the book to the show. I think. I don't know. I kind of stopped watching.
But the great part about the book is everything else is in color, but Negan's in black and white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Ellie even makes a comment about that.
Yeah. Like, so he, like Spencer says, he literally destroys his body. There's, like, nothing left but, like, oodles of like little flesh on the ground.
Yeah.
And then we pan. I'll let Dave talk.
Well, we get the Donny Cates, who's
long-haired Donny Cates.
Long-haired
Donny
Cates.
Alan Moore Donny Cates.
Yes, that's a great way.
Still being questioned and says he doesn't have anything to do with how the story's going. He hasn't written any of this.
Not part of his outline.
Mike, tell what happens next.
Oh no! You go.
No, go ahead. Please go. Please.
F bombs. Dave can't talk about that.
This was a great moment.
I'm drawing a blank now.
The exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He literally takes a word balloon with an exclamation mark, pulls it off of the panel, and uses it as a weapon and kills somebody.
Well, he doesn't kill him.
Doesn't he kill
no.
him?
No, he shot. No. He like stabs him through the shoulder, and he's like, don't worry. In my outline, I'll make sure somebody comes and gets you.
So he's not just breaking, like, the fourth wall. Yeah. He's breaking all walls. It's just like, how is he doing this? I mean, how is he keeping all this straight?
Well, he goes to get Ellie, and he's like, we have to fix this. We have to bring the A-plot and the B-plot together.
He's like, it's getting a little messy here.
this is totally going to go off the rails if it hasn't already. So then we switch to the baseball field scene, baseball field where we have the face-off ready to begin. So we have Negan and Reverend Lowe
teaming up,
and then we have Christian Walker and Dina Pilgrim from Powers, and then.
Like how she's like, go do some superhero or like some power stuff. And yeah. Oh yeah, keep on forgetting about that, and then just gets darted.
And then
he goes down.
And then Donny Cates
Would you think? I wouldn't think a dot would go through that thick of a neck, like.
I don't know.
Yeah. Donny Cates and Ellie and Ryan arrive at the end.
Short-haired Donny Cates.
Yes.
Donny Cates. Because he got his, he had to get rid of his.
Well, he did it in between the panels.
Yeah. Right. And you're like, what? Because he even said, he goes, people are getting confused about who this is and stuff like that. And you're like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. So he's like literally writing to the fans that are reading this book and then understand it. He even makes reference to Bleeding Cool and says,
oh, he's like, oh yeah, they're going to love this.
They're going to love this. Don't write about anything. And I'm like,
and just looks at the camera, you know, just looks at the.
And you're like, that is Bleeding Cool. They'll just make stuff up. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Now, the one of the things was that Negan was talking about, he has this guy who's able to, like. He's like, because we were like, well, why do you want to go back to The Walking Dead? That place is terrible. He's like, well, my guy. You know, because they're talking about the writers doing stuff, and he's like, well, my guy is able to, you know, make, give me, I can fly around with laser eyes or whatever, you know. So who do you think the guy, who do you think it is?
I don't know.
I'm thinking McFarlane. Yeah. Because it's Image Comics, he's a big fan of, like, you know, he's a big fan of his. That would kind of play into McFarlane's kind of eagle of being able
and
to.
And one of the boxes said McFarlane covers.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's probably a clue.
So, I don't. That's my.
Because he's not really been mentioned or anything so far.
Yeah.
No, he hasn't been in it at all, I don't think so.
Huh. That's a good one.
I think they showed Spawn once or twice.
Yeah, they showed him. Oh, wow. But it's just, it's off the wall crazy.
Yeah.
But it's
I love that book. Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I read that.
This is continuing the Reckoning War storyline. Let's see, where are we? Reed has all the knowledge of the Watchers in his head, and he's ready to die in a couple days. And so Reed and Thing and She-Hulk and Jack of Hearts are in Shi'ar space to defend the Macron crystal. What is the Macron crystal again, Colin? I'm sorry.
I don't remember specifically. Okay, no. It's older than I thought. Goes back to it's Claremont-ish.
Okay.
Which Jermaine, he likes to give me notes on the podcast when we mess stuff up. He said it was from the Claremont run.
Okay.
Seemed like one of those Nexus of All Realities type
things.
Oh,
that's
thing,
what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay.
When have we ever messed up?
Sometimes one of you will say something wrong.
One of us.
Primarily someone who's not here anymore. But he would give edits saying, no, that was wrong. But a lot of times, I don't know what it is because I'm not. My X-Men lore is not deep. I've read a lot, but.
So Ben faces off against this Rapture person who's gonna had these visions in a previous issue that was gonna kill him, and she takes a swing at him with an axe or something. Do you remember, Spencer?
Oh, for the thing you said.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but it's a person who in the Rapture. Previous story who he saw killing him. That's who it was.
Yeah. And he's saved by his wedding ring.
Yeah, well, because he puts his hand up, but then he also gets it again and gets, like, not cut in half, but he gets, like, sliced open because Reed has to wrap himself around him to, like, keep him together.
Right, I forgot about that, And then we go to Johnny, who's on, he's gone to the Spire world, which is former soulmate, home of his former soulmate.
Yeah.
And he's... Annihilus is there, so it's Johnny against Annihilus, and he's trying to convince all the people in that world to help them out, you know, with this go up against the Reckoning in the universe. And then we get
Sky, right? That was her name, right?
Yeah.
She's so bonded with whoever the big guy is. I don't remember a lot of their names. But she's so bonded with him again now. So, Would you think so bonding with him? Oh, I guess not, because she's already changed. But
yeah, and then we get to the end. They're in Asgard with the Silver Surfer and all the heralds, and they're trying to bring Galactus back to life.
Yeah,
but then the Destroyer comes out of Odin's armory. And he melds himself with Galactus to create a new being.
Yeah.
The Destruction. And so they're headed off to face the Reckoning. Next one. Nice House on the Lake.
I forgot to read 6, so I didn't read this one.
This is number 7.
This is the return after
this
the break.
Is the return.
Oh, no. Got him.
Oh no.
Well,
so we have a change.
Come here, Mark.
At the end of that 6th issue, Walter made everybody forget what's been going on, because they're starting to ask too many questions. And now things have changed, because Walter, he is now part of the group. And they don't...
Okay.
They're treating him like just like a regular person.
Even though he's destroyed the world.
Yeah, and they destroyed the world, because they don't remember any of that yet. And he's taken the place of Nora, who's the transgender woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter has locked her away in a separate building. Because when she was a man, Walter was in love with her, with him.
Okay.
And it's weird. It's crazy, because he's like such a seemingly omnipotent being, but he has these like human emotions that he's like, that you can't be part of this group anymore. And you know, he put her in a separate building with like records and video games and everything to keep herself occupied. But she just wants to get out. And there's pages of her, you know, just like yelling to the darkness about how awful this situation is.
Okay.
And the other thing is they're coming up with a plan. The group is coming up with a plan. If we ask for a new building, will we get a new building?
Okay.
So they come up. So one of them is tasked with making the blueprints for this building, so they know exactly what to ask for. And they kind of want to put all their like mapping and equipment and clues over in this building. So it was really, really good. Lastly, I'll talk about this Rogue's Son. Did you read that, Spencer? Rogue's Son?
No, I didn't. I read the Supermassive, but I didn't get that because I wasn't sure. Because like last week I got a whole bunch of books and stuff, and I wasn't sure. But I heard, was it good?
I really liked it. I actually, I thought it was a good premise, new premise for a superhero story. Because it starts off, Rogue's Son, he's going up against one of his villains, and he dies.
He dies, or the villain dies?
The Rogue's Son dies.
Okay.
His real name is Marcus Bell. He was in that Supermassive book.
Yeah.
That we read. So then we show, then they show his son, Dylan, who he's kind of like a bully at school, and his wife, and they find out that he died. This is his ex-wife. And they have to go to a reading of the will at his second wife's mansion, and they have 2 kids. And they're at the reading of the will, and these 2 kids, they all know that their father is Rogue's Son.
Yeah.
And they're expecting, the 2 other kids are expecting to get the power. Yeah, there's something called, I think it's called a Sunstone. They're expecting to get the Sunstone so they could be Rogue's Son, but he bequeaths it to Dylan, the ne'er-do-well, you know, bull, his bully kid. So he's all excited. He gets to be Rogue's son. And then you get to the last page. He goes up against this villain, this thief, who calls himself Suave. And I don't know. Do you want me to give away the last page, Spencer?
Yeah, see if he's trying to sell me.
I'm going
to
sell you because it's a big, the big surprise on the last page is that the father's not dead.
Ooh. Bum, 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 bum.
And it gives the Rogue son the double meaning of S-U-N and S-O-N-2.
I see what you're doing there.
And I said exactly that. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, are you picking up Radiant Red?
I bought that, yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought it was well done. Art's really nice, too.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost kind of like they almost got like a, not like a house style with that Radiant universe, but they got like a feel, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's like a big two-page spread where, you know, a big photo, I'm Rogue, you know, Rogue's son, you know, when he first puts on, gets the costume on. Mm. It was really good. That's all I got. Go ahead, Spence.
Dark Knights of Steel.
That was awesome.
This was, it continued to be getting really well. Cameron, what's it? How did the book open up? Because I really remember like the end. Like, cause the end is what kind of like, you know.
Right at the beginning, Harley is going to Poison Ivy to get her to stop
people from traveling.
Right,
because
Wonder Woman's going to be coming through the forest and stuff. So she was going to stop that from coming.
Yeah,
and she's talking to Poison Ivy, and Poison Ivy is like, "Well, I'm not going to do it for him, but I'll do it for you."
Yeah.
And then Batman or
well, I'm gonna say because
Batman had the.
I'm gonna say because Wonder Woman does end up showing up and has to vine her down.
Right.
And then.
But then Alfred.
Yeah.
Presents Bruce with the.
The kryptonite.
The kryptonite wrapped in lead from the Metal Man, red or lead, and Bruce goes and shows it to Kal-El, and Kal-El takes it, and he's like, I think he also reveals that he's his actual brother.
Yeah, he calls him
and that pisses Kal-El off, and he stabs him with the kryptonite. And then
he also takes off into the sky and like throws him like which I mean that kind of confused me because I was like it's not affecting Superman
right
at all but it's having this effect on Batman
but maybe because maybe it was still shielded and the kryptonite was in him so I'm not sure about that part but then Bruce crashes lands on the Earth and two kindly old couple come across him. And they take the kryptonite out, and he starts recovering, and they take him back to their house.
Is the woman's name Martha?
It is. And the father's name is?
Bill.
Jonathan. And it's the kindly Kents.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome twist. I mean, when I realized who they were, it was like, aww. So that was really good.
Martha.
That book has been so good. Well, no, it's just the Kents find Bruce instead of...
No, I understand.
Clark, it was really well done. Okay.
Justice League was pretty much still just a lead-up to this big event of they're trying to deal with Black Adam, who's possessed by, like, the original Order of
it's
Chaos.
It's been good, though. Like, they're trying to, you know, it's got Zatanna involved, Madame Xanadu, just... And then nothing's working. This guy's, he basically takes out Dr. Fate and is like, thanks for bringing me the helmet.
Yeah.
And then Naomi does something. I don't know what she does.
I have been liking how...
I'm not a fan of Naomi, and they're making her the star of this book. And I'm like, Who's Naomi?
Man.
She doesn't even have a, you know, a name.
She has a TV show, though.
Yeah, she does have a TV show.
But I do like these past couple of issues. They've been doing it, different than they've been doing in the previous like stories of. They would have the Justice League story, and then they would have the Dark backup, where it's now they're going together, you know, the town, and they just got, like, art separating, separating. But yeah, like I said, it's just kind of pretty much leading up to, you know, to the death of the Justice League kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Did anybody read the War of Earth 3?
Yes.
Did you not like them?
It was fine. I read
this. I thought it was was okay. It was, you know.
Yeah. It's, oh my gosh! I forgot to write that one down. Yeah, I read that and the Suicide Squad tie-in. It's
better than what I thought it was going to be.
But yeah, it's Amanda Waller has gone to Earth 3 where the crime syndicate is,
and apparently she's been getting members of Suicide Squad from different universes, right. It looks like. I don't know. I haven't been reading the squad book, but...
And she is basically offering to Ultraman, you go ahead and be a god. Don't be a king. You don't want to deal with all the petty problems of the people. We'll deal with that. You go be a god.
After she took out, like, half the syndicate squad.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was interesting. It's just one of those, okay, you know.
The one thing I think it has going for it is that it's going to be pretty much be over in about, like, you know, a month. It's going to...
But it's in Flash next week. It's like, well, Flash sells much more than Suicide Squad. So it's just really hard to order that way.
And then Titans, too.
So, one thing I found interesting was they had Peacemaker, but instead of Vigilante, because Vigilante in the comics isn't the goofball that he was in the show, so who would they... pair him to be a kind of a goofball character. Ambush Bug is basically his Vigilante.
Okay.
So it worked. It did work, but
I like the I think I like the first, like the first issue of it better because it focused more on the syndicate and just how the Ultraman didn't want to do anything, and he was like spying in on Owlman.
Having sex with Superwoman
and stuff like
that. He wants Superwoman, and Superwoman loves to tease him. But yeah, she was getting it on with somebody else, or she was a piece with somebody else. She was
willing to she was interested.
Yeah.
And then I'll talk about. Amazing Spider-Man.
It's like one of these every week.
Yeah. So Peter and Ben.
Bye, Tim.
So Ben and Peter are teaming up now to try to take on Beyond. Ben is still having issues like with him messing with his memory, so he's still forgetting things and kind of acting a little bit out of character and stuff like that. And they go to like this Beyond like warehouse or part of the company where they got all these weird different creatures that they've made and stuff that they're fighting against. And then the Hero for Hire people that they have, that Beyond has on the Misty Knight and the is it like White Tiger or they come driving that car through the building because, you know, Beyond is hiring them, but then they end up helping both the Spider-Mans and but Ben kind of has his own agenda that he's trying to do because there's like this big door that's locked. It's like the Z door or something like that. And so, to get away from the rest of the group, Ben opens up that door so that he's able to escape what they deal with that. And in this, when the door is like this, like, souped up lizard. And, like, I wouldn't even think it was the lizard, but Spider-Man, you know, Peter's like, Connor, what happened to you? Because, like, he's, like, super, like, he's, like, takes up most of the page. He's gray. on the ad for the next cover, he has like these wings coming out of his back and stuff like that. So I guess they're gonna have to fight up a souped up lizard next
first issue. Appearance. Souped up lizard.
Souped up lizard. Like I said, yeah, they're just kind of getting on to the end of this story here soon. I think there's only like
got to get a number one soon, yeah. And then a number 900.
Yeah, yeah, because they're so close to 900. It's so weird that they're gonna get like the first story arc into the new series, and it's gonna be like 900. But yeah, I don't think there's too many issues left of this run. But I hope they don't end up killing like Ben off at the end of this, because I think done properly, he's like a cool character, and I think you could really do something with him, you know. So I just hope they don't, you know. But I guess with him being a clone, they can always kill him off and, you know, bring him back. So, but anything else I had, I think you guys might have read. So.
Okay, leaving it all up. Oh, no, Pat.
Yeah.
Go, Pat.
Wow.
I know.
Jeez.
Chop liver over here. Damn. Moon Knight.
Yeah, right then.
I really enjoyed this issue. Mm-hmm. So, a few issues back, the Midnight Mission had been destroyed, and so he kind of needs a new place to call home. But this issue starts off with him in this apartment where they found dead bodies on the sixth floor.
Well,
the problem,
missing.
Or, I'm sorry, missing on the sixth floor. The problem is there's only five floors to this building. So he goes in there and it's like a maze. And he's like, so they're not trying to kill him fast because there's water, there's shelter, there's just no food. So it's trying to weaken him. And then he finds out what's going on, and it's basically a Sarlacc. So the Sarlacc touches him.
His mind.
Yeah, touches, his mind and realizes...
We're thinking about that, Dave.
Realizes, hey, not a great idea, and basically gets rid of him.
Yeah, because it's either... I get it, it's either from him being, you know, his disorder... Or just from having Khonshu.
Yeah.
Or maybe a mixture of the both. But whatever it was, whenever he tried to touch his mind, it had a bad reaction and basically threw him up out of the...
Out of this maze.
Yeah, and landed on the street.
So, he goes and sees Wong and talks to Wong and then goes back.
Because Wong owes him, but then he kidnaps
Strange.
But he
doesn't. It's funny because he's like... He says to Wong... You owe me. And he said, yeah. And then you attacked Strange and took his powers. He said, okay, well, I'll owe you.
Yeah.
But he goes back and goes back to the Sarlacc and say, and it's not really a Sarlacc, but I forget what it's called.
It's okay. It's all owned by Disney.
Yeah.
So.
And says, you know, I'm going to give you something no one else has, a mission. And so the next scene, you see him standing on the street, and
like this dark shadow kind of move, because he kind of has him with him, kind of as he's kind of carrying him with him.
And he basically rebuilds or becomes the new headquarters for the Midnight Mission,
which opens up a whole bunch of things because it's almost kind of like a TARDIS. You know, you go in and
it can be whatever.
Yeah, you can have however many floors, how many rooms, so I think that'll open up a lot of cool different like storylines and plots that they could probably, you know, mess around with.
Well, and I'm also wondering if they're trying to get him more to like the supernatural roots, because you got the show coming out, but then Disney is also doing the Werewolf by Night special and bringing Blade in, and so I'm wondering if they're trying to kind of get back to that.
Are you getting the Dark Reign miniseries?
I did get... Well, no, I got the Moon Knight issue today. But I haven't been reading it.
Mm.
And
then they're doing the... what's it? Black, White, and Red? Is that what it is? He's getting like an anthology.
I didn't know they were doing that. I think with him it's going to be mostly White and Red.
Maybe that's what... I can't remember what colors they picked. Because it just can't be, hey, Moon Knight anthology. It has to be.
Yeah, they got to call it something else. Let's see. Detective.
I read that.
So, basically this was the riot going on.
Yeah, this is kind of like whenever you first got to the story, before they jump back to the beginning, this is kind of like what the Quentin Tarantino of it, you know, show you the end and then go back to the beginning kind of deal.
Yeah. It's really show you the middle and then jump back to the beginning.
Because there's what, like three issues left, something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Because this was like 9, right?
Yeah. So, and this wasn't a bad issue, though I do think this is the most fluff we've had of any of the issues. Docker Ware was thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was kind of surprised by that. Like, I thought, you know, I didn't think they were just going to, you know, off him with a couple issues. I thought, you know. Yeah. So I guess they don't do... They say he does, but I guess you don't see him splat on the floor, so maybe he got...
But multiple people mention that, and you do see him fall. Or you see somebody fall.
Yeah.
But even the people that had cornered him said they threw him out the window. So you really have no reason to believe that wasn't what happened.
Yeah.
But Psycho Pirate is...
mad about that, right?
Yeah. And he's, like, in an elevator shaft with the mayor's wife, almost, like, doing therapy or something, like, just and talking.
Trying to save her, almost, too, because there was a couple of times where, like, she was close to getting into some danger, and he was, like, you know, helped her to get to safety.
Huntress is running around and runs into Mr. Freeze, who found his weapons. So he basically made the giant slip and slide, you know, in the hallway. And then Nightwing shows up and he's like falling. I couldn't tell what that was. If like they just had a hole in the floor, or was that like another elevator shaft or what it was? Because it looked like it was something he was falling down, but I wasn't quite sure what that was. Like I said, this one felt more like fluff than any of the other issues. But the backup story
again
has been excellent.
Yeah.
So I thought at the end of the last one, the kid was dead, because that's kind of how they presented it. Turns out he's not dead, but he was crippled. So he was in a rehabilitation
for years.
Yeah, that's what they said, was for years.
Well, I've kind of got, like, from this is, like, each issue they're slowly kind of moving, like, because, like, when it started, he was like a young kid. Now he's about a teenager. And now he's pretty much, like, an adult, like a young...
I don't think he's a young adult. I think he's only, like, 15 or 16. Because he's getting pushed around by the guy they were calling Poet. By the way, now he's in no man's land.
Yeah.
So it's gone from Nightfall, now it's in no man's land. And,
just had all the 90s.
Yeah. So, something has stolen his group's food, and this guy, Poet, in order to punish the kid, sends him down to go find the food and recapture it. Well, it turns out that Killer Croc took it, and he knows Killer Croc from when he was in Arkham. And so he makes a deal with Killer Croc to join their collective. So he goes back and basically, you know, he only has like a part of the food, so, you know, Poet is getting on him, whatever. And he said, well, no, I made a deal. And to which Poet goes, well, you know, you can't make a deal without me. And he said, oh, no, it involves you. And then he says, Waylon. So you know, Killer Croc's about to eat this dude. This backup has been so good, though.
Yeah. But, like, I'm interested to see, like, once he goes back to normal for, like, this character. Because it seems like, obviously, they've been moving this kid through Batman's history. So right. I wonder if he's going to be some new bad guy, you know, whenever the new series starts to back up. Or what, you know, what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, or we come to find out he's somebody we've always known.
Yeah, maybe. To go back to the main story, does the Bat Family just give up on identities now? Because, like, I've noticed in a lot of Batman books, because, like, Helena's running around with no mask on and people calling her Huntress and stuff like that. And, like, kind of the same thing with, like, Dick a little bit. I've noticed that. And then, like, even, like in Task Force Z, Two-Face knows that Red Hood's Jason Todd. And, like, it just seems like a lot of, like, they're being really loosey-goosey on the whole secret identity thing.
Well, but Huntress, she was a patient, though. So yeah. I think that's, that one is explainable.
I mean, just not in this book, like I said, like, it just seems like in, like, a lot of the Batman stuff recently, they've been really loose on...
Because I don't remember anybody calling Dick Nightwing while he was unmasked.
Maybe I might be getting it mixed up with something with something else, but, like I said, I know just, like, because, like, multiple people know who, like, Jason Todd is, and it's just, I don't know. It just seems like they're, like, because it's one of those things, like, if you know who one member of the family is...
It's not hard to draw a line.
Yeah.
Although, they may have known that anyway, because, you know, when Red Hood was introduced and he took over crime...
Yeah.
You know, he probably wasn't too careful about his identity.
Yeah, true.
And the last one I read was Batman.
I read that, too.
See, Colin, I did read one you read.
There you go.
So this was the end of the Abyss. So
twist.
Yeah, Batman Inc. wasn't really working for Luthor the whole time. They were working for Batman, pretending to work for him.
Surprise, surprise.
In order to find out what he's up to. And it turns out he kind of has an anti-Batman Inc., for lack of a better term, in the most crime-ridden cities all over the world.
Well, Luthor's the one who created Abyss, right? Isn't that what they alluded to in the...
Yeah. Right, I guess he was, like, the first.
Yeah.
But in typical Luthor fashion, there's no way to actually connect him to it, so he's going to get off without getting arrested anyway.
He's going to get off and get away.
Yeah. And then somehow Ghostmaker got involved, but I don't remember why. Why did he?
That was like right at the very end. He's like, I need your help with something, like, in the future. Like, he had nothing to do with that thing.
I think probably...
But he was on the cover, which is weird.
But there was two epilogues, and one of them, Deathstroke is involved.
Because they're getting ready to do a crossover between Deathstroke, Batman, and Robin. That's going to be, like, a Shadow War.
Okay.
I think is what it's called.
Okay.
So they're doing like a crossover between, and then, you know, an Alpha and Omega. But yeah, so that's what I think, because I think this was supposed to be the end of Williamson's run, but he writes Deathstroke and Robin, so he's probably just staying on Batman until, you know, to finish up that crossover.
Okay. Yeah, because it felt weird how they did that. It's you know, like Colin said, you put Ghostmaker on the cover and he doesn't really have anything to do with the story. He sells books, though.
Well, like I said, I think they're probably just get reintroducing him because he's probably going to be part of that crossover because, you know, you need somebody to fight Deathstroke, I guess.
So, that's what I read.
Okay. Colin. My turn now.
Your turn now.
Okay, I read some more. Nobody else read Strange number one?
Who?
It's the new one with Doctor Strange, but no longer a doctor because she's not a doctor.
So who is Doctor?
It's Clea.
Who's that?
That's his. That's his. Now that was my exact point. They should have done one of those Marvel Tales $7 reprint things to explain who Clea is. But she's, his significant other. I don't know if they were ever married. I'm not sure. So. But he bestowed the power onto her.
Power of Grayskull.
The power. But he gave her the Eye of Agamotto and the cape. In this one, Doom shows up to reclaim, because to claim that he is Sorcerer Supreme. And she said, no, Strange said, I am. And he's like, that's not how it works. But she says, oh, yeah, you want to fight me? Because she is the... daughter of somebody, and Dormammu is her uncle, and she is from some race or something that I don't remember.
So is Strange dead? Did he actually die? Yeah, he's dead.
He died. He
but
died.
Like, he's gone, though, right? Correct. Or he's not gone. Like hanging out. He's not.
Well,
is he like Iron Man and he's like an astro, like, helper? Like,
well, no, no, he's dead, but she and Wong are talking, and he's like, well, everybody else seems to come back, so we'll just sit and wait for Steven to come back. But she wants to resurrect him. And it starts off with a scene that I'm guessing, you know, that's taking place later. But it has this new character showing up basically saying, you will not resurrect him. I forget the guy's name, but he had a big scythe and all this. First appearance. And then, so she basically puts Doom off. And then she's like, where can we get some real coffee? Because this Earth coffee is not good. So he takes her to the Goblin Market, which is hidden down an alley, where you can get things from different dimensions. And while they're there, the guy they're talking to gets shot by these, I forget what they're called, but they just have numbers that, on masks, no faces, they're the unknown or whatever. And she wipes them out and sends one on his way, claiming, tell your friends, you know, don't come back here. And Wong is a little shocked that she just basically killed all the rest, and where Steven wouldn't have just killed everybody. And she's like, well, you know, that's how I roll.
Call me Killer Strange.
Yeah. So, gosh, I forget what happens after that. But, basically it looks like, she sets this signal out if there's any, paranormal activity, which would indicate Steven's coming back, like any magical stuff, and something triggers it, and she goes off to see what it is. But I honestly don't remember what that was. So, no spoilers. Yeah. Clea. But yeah, they really should have explained that better. What if Miles Morales was Captain America? It was okay.
I say, how was that?
It was okay.
I was thinking about it, but I figured I'd just trade.
It's also setting up the others. So, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. But basically, Miles is just a kid. His dad works, his uncle works somewhere where they're testing the super soldier serum. And his uncle steals a vial and takes it home. Puts it in the fridge. Miles gets home from school, thinks it's a drink, opens it up. The mists hit him. All of a sudden, poof, he's been affected by the super soldier serum. Which makes his uncle really mad because it hasn't worked on anybody and it works on Miles. But he helps train him and everything. And so then they're off to fight the Gray Skull, who's like almost like the Kingpin. And he has the Cosmic Cube. And they're trying to open up a gate to somewhere, like the multiverse, and he's going to use it for that. Miles and the Falcon, his sidekick, show up. And there's somebody else there who's fighting them. And he's kicking the butt out of the Falcon. It turns out that the guy that they're fighting is actually the uncle, who's all pissed off because that was supposed to be his super soldier serum, and basically things go haywire, and something happens with the thing, and he sees these different visions of himself as Wolverine, as a spider, as whatever the other ones, and it basically set up all the next what ifs. Swamp Dogs number 2 was a really, it's been a while, which doesn't help, but interesting. The first one was like something in the Civil War. And these guys run into the swamp, and the swamp kind of kills all of them. And now it's these two girls.
Was that like 6 months ago?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. But number 2, these two girls are kind of out in the swamp. They're from a band, and I don't know who the other girl is. And like, they show all the band members. But it's this mostly the story of these two girls who are falling in love. And then they're in the backwoods, and all of a sudden they see this house. Like, it's an old plantation house, and they can't believe they found it. You know, it's decrepit, and they're like, wow, you know, let's go in and explore, and they go in and explore, and then there are these swamp people in there. So bad things happen. Let's see. Batman Killing Time. Anybody else read this? This is the Tom King Batman book.
Yeah, trade.
Yeah, it was good.
When's it take place?
Whenever.
I think earlier, like, because it has Catwoman working with Riddler and some other thing, and just it's a heist. It's a heist book, but it was good. X-Men 9. I hadn't read the prior batch, but I decided just to, I'm just going to dig in and do it. It was okay. It was
like a series of vignettes.
With different because you have the Mars people, you have the Arako people, and the Krakoa people, and yeah.
The most interesting part to me was the Rogue and Gambit part when they meet that
Yeah, I didn't realize Destiny was Rogue's mom.
I did
mom.
Not either. They were.
Not Gambit's mom.
Destiny and, okay. Mystique adopted Rogue.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that either.
No.
Yeah, because I knew, like, you know, Rogue was like her surrogate mother, kind of.
She adopted her way back when.
So that's what I was thinking, maybe mother through that relationship, like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
I don't recall Destiny being part of that.
I don't ever remember. Was she like a Morrison run character? Because I've read a lot of like the old Claremont stuff. Like I've read like a decent amount of X-Men, and like I don't ever remember seeing her, hearing about her really. But
it was funny because she does not have a high opinion of Gambit.
Well, who does really?
But
I mean,
who does? But you know, but she calls him like a. You know, country bumpkin from the bayou and everything.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, so, yeah, stuff happens. I don't specifically remember. It just all kind of blurred together.
Somebody wanted, MODOK, because he created that virus that killed,
Orcus wants MODOK.
Is that who it was?
Yeah. And, then they showed, Storm... on Arako. She's a part of the Great Ring Council there.
We need a lot of councils.
Yeah. Lots of talking. Yeah. Devil's Ring Spider-Man was fun. It was just a one-shot. And it's introducing the Rose, who is Kingpin's son, and is trying to show his dad messed everything up, and he's going to show him how you really take over a city, and he goes out and...
Yeah, because last time he tried to do that, he died, right?
I guess, yeah. So, it believe it or not, it doesn't go well.
Which Spider-Man is this?
Ben. Okay. So, he's... Ben's arrested, and Beyond gets him out, but then the Rose's guys kidnap him again. Rose also kidnaps the Beyond guy, who's like the guy from Beyond, who's... his, I don't know, agent or operative or whatever.
Man in the chair.
Yeah, and kidnaps him and is trying to get the information from him, and he won't break. He's like, man, I thought you'd break easy, but he wouldn't tell him who Spider-Man is, where he is, or anything. So he decides to put this guy in a Spider-Man costume, because he realizes the guy considers Ben a friend, so that's why he's not giving him up. So he puts him in a Spider-Man costume, calls the cops, to say here's where Spider-Man is, knowing that Ben would come to save him. Then he, you know, surprises him, and he's going to shoot him with this weapon that was an old shield thing, and it doesn't go well. And then Ben wraps up the Rose for his dad. It was fine. It was a little one shot, but it wasn't dumb. It was fine.
How many issues are left in the
Devil's Reign? Yeah. Five came out today.
Five,
I think there's
six.
Seven.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
It's six.
Yeah. Okay.
So all that stuff should be ending soon.
Yeah.
Even though they just start a couple new series, like mini series.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll wrap
like
up before the last one.
Yeah, I think so.
We have this. I read this just for Mike. Mike says I don't love him, but Monkey Prince 2. I read that.
Well, you're getting done with Deep Impact here soon, or Deep Target or whatever, so you need something to replace that.
This won't be going on much longer. But
this is 12 issues.
Yeah.
At the end of the last issue, Batman had accidentally decapitated Monkey Prince, which happens all the time.
As one does.
Weren't they kicking his head?
So Damian picks up the head.
Though that does seem very Damien, to be kidding.
And then he pumps it, and Batman gets all mad that he wasn't supposed to kick the head. Pig Guy grabs a lacrosse stick and catches the head and puts it back on the body just in time.
That's either a big lacrosse stick or a small head.
Because if he had turned back into a human, he would have been dead. So, yada, yada, yada. He doesn't realize
what he lives? It just, reattaches magically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, because he's magic. He doesn't know what his parents do. The parents don't know that he's Monkey Prince. He doesn't want to be Monkey Prince. He doesn't have a choice. There's this, it was a tiara that went around his head the first time. Then it was around his waist. Then it went around his arm. And the guy's like, you can't get rid of it. You're Monkey Prince. And then the parents are trying to fix the demon that they let out that now is in the penguin.
The hero formerly known as Monkey
Prince. And the penguin is draining people of, all their essence. Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't like that.
It's not great.
Have the speculators been hot for this
book? Oh, it's been, yeah. Demand. I mean, I'm blowing through.
Hot demand?
Pairs and pairs of comics.
How many comics have you read in your life where a monkey got decapitated?
This would be the first. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Now,
it's funny because usually monkeys make things better. But
yeah, maybe he will in the end. And then the last one I read was Justice League Incarnate number 5. Now, for fun, I read number 1. I did not read 2, 3, and 4. And then I just read number 5. But I figured it was going to kind of set up this dark crisis. And oh boy, was I right. While I didn't know everything that was going on in this issue, there was one really neat part. Reading, they had the credits at the beginning, and I noticed they had two artists. And I'm like, what in the world? But
yeah, kind of had two artists because they've had the House of Heroes or whatever.
Okay.
They've had the one artist and the other storyline and gets a different artist.
But so they're fighting Darkseid and some other guy. I don't know who the other guy was. I guess he's like the Great Darkness, but they're trying to release the Great Darkness. And this guy just takes down Darkseid super easy, and he starts building this machine that's going to bring on the Great Darkness. He goes into that, and he kind of calls Darkseid to him in there, and Darkseid's like, you're no boss of me, and Darkseid goes in, and he's in complete darkness. Outside, the heroes had been fighting this, and one of the Flashes uses their power, and they get the Great Darkness out of all their teammates. There was one funny thing where Captain Carrot sees something, and his eyes bug out a la Roger Rabbit style. I thought that was funny. But they want to go save Barry Allen Flash, and apparently he is in a different Earth where it's like a comic book, and he's mowing the grass in his costume, and they want to let him out, and he's like, I don't know who you people are, leave me alone, so they leave him. But in the end, basically, Pariah shows up. Dave remembers Pariah.
Sure.
And he is essentially the Great Darkness, and it ends with him ready to bring Great Darkness onto the DC universe. So
he's going
to
be the main villain. Dark Crisis.
So I'm glad I read it because it's definitely setting all that stuff up. So that was good. I don't know what happened in between, but yeah, it was. I do like those characters from Multiversity. That a lot of it got set up there, so that's cool. Because I love Multiversity. I'm just glad to see them doing more with it. I hate that they messed up the Earths, though. Because, Earth 1 is supposed to be DC Universe, but it's not anymore. And DC Universe is like Earth 0. It's just somebody messed up all the numbers, which makes me sad.
And you think that, because they have, thing with continuity, you think they just would have made, they would be like a new 52 Earth.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, it seems like, no, they still merge that and the thing to make Earth Zero. That stuff. They need another chart.
Is supposed to be Earth Prime. Real world is Earth Prime. And then Earth 1 and Earth 3 is the crime syndicate and stuff. But
they need another chart.
Yeah, we need Morrison to come back. And don't use the back like Snyder did. So.
Is Earth 2 still a Justice Society? Are they ever going to bring the Justice Society back?
They've been talking about that since the beginning of New 52.
Yeah, they keep on teasing.
Yeah, I don't know why they won't.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, so my hope is this is either like a hard reboot or a soft reboot after all this. But they definitely need to get their house in order. I saw something. Tom King was talking about writing a Green Lantern book. So I'd love to see him go on Green Lantern because it's not going great right now. And they just need, really just need a reboot. You know, obviously we're going to get a Justice League number one after all this.
He gets and, some, doesn't he have some creator-owned book coming out too? Or he
maybe it's on Substack. Oh, maybe that's what it is. But yeah, they could. They need to bring in a lot more characters and bring in a lot of stuff. Other than, you know, leave Batman alone. But Superman books are kind of wandering aimlessly. Wonder Woman, hopefully after this trial of the Amazons, but it dangerously close to single digits, and it's like that should not be. You know, especially with all the movies and everything, Wonder Woman should be killing it. But so, Pat, is anything coming out next week?
Ain't much, Colin. Okay.
So it is a 5 Wednesday month, and next week is a little thin. Going through the Diamond invoice, and there's really it's not that there's nothing. There's just new number ones, you know, Basilisk 8, Blade Runner 10, you know, stuff like that. So I could only find one to highlight, which I thought found really weird. Because, I mean, this is even Image, and Image doesn't have any... Well, they have one number one, which I highlight, which is Slumber. I don't know who's doing it, but idea is, like, she'll help get rid of your nightmares, and by going into your head while you sleep, and something happens, like, her nightmare comes back to haunt... There's a serial killer killing people in their nightmares. So... and then from Marvel, I'm going to read you every book coming out next week. We have Amazing Spider-Man 92, and I think this is the Beyond issue, which don't sell as well. So great. Avengers 54, that's good. Carnage number one. Eternals the Heretic one-shot. Reckoning War Trial of the Watcher. Star Wars the Halcyon Legacy. The Marvels number 9. And X-Lives of Wolverine 5. That's it. Eight whole titles. And then from DC, we're getting Batman Superman World's Finest. This is Mark Waid, so that should be good. Batman the Knight number 3. This is the Chip Zdarsky book. Detective 1057. Shocking, I know. Flash 780 ties into War for Earth 3. We have Justice League 74 getting real close to the end here. Nice House on the Lake 7. I have more coming. I had somebody order 14 copies, and I didn't realize that. And they wanted 14 copies, but I didn't take that into account when my order. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it
was ordered 14 of the same book.
Yeah, he's been getting 14 of every issue.
I'll
explain later. But so I had to order. I had none for the. I ran out on the shelf. I only had like two for the shelf. So those are coming. Titans United is wrapping up with number 7, and Wonder Woman 785 is a trial to Amazon's tie-in. So a little bit thinner than a normal week, so we'll figure out something. I have more No More Robot coming in either Thursday or Friday, so if you want to do book club, I have more copies of that coming for you to peruse. It's AWA month all month long.
Although it does look like you got a whole lot left.
Well, they're still on the shell. They're on the wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're on the wall. I think that's about it. Yeah, everything else is going well. Everything's going good. I'd love to say it's springtime, but we had what,
3 inches of snow.
Yeah, a nice batch
today.
Of snow this morning. That's all now gone.
Melted by, yeah.
And I was like, oh, they say it's supposed to snow. It's not going to be anything. Yeah, until this morning when it was like,
The sun will come up for our, will come out for our 500th episode.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in 2 weeks, hell. It'll be 75 outside.
It could be 75 tomorrow.
Yeah. So, that's all I got.
Where can they find you?
Website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So, Mike, send us home.
And that's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.